All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, Sandy, we were talking about words matter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a guy named Noam Chomsky who's a noted sort of super liberal. And, you know, interestingly, he's got a PhD in linguistics. I always wondered, why did a PhD in linguistics qualify a guy to spout off about any and all issues that are socially or politically important? He's a pretty profound guy in some respects. But,
and well-known, Noam Chomsky.
Yeah, well-known, yeah. But the more I've been thinking about it, and the more I watch our political debate, the more I realize that I don't think he uses his linguistics to talk about things in this way, but that words really do matter. And so as I was driving here this morning, I was listening to the news media and how they were talking about, and every time they talked about the MAGA Republican claim that the election of 2020 was stolen, they call it the big lie. And, you know, it seems that it probably is a lie, okay? And it seems that it is a totally unsubstantiated claim. But when the news media simply has given it a shorthand name of the big lie, I think it causes all those people who embrace the idea, you know, regardless of the merits of the fact that it undoubtedly is an untruth, there seem to be tens of millions of people who buy into the concept that the 2020 election was stolen. And the honest, you know, another way of describing what's going on is that the MAGA people and others keep making the totally unsubstantiated claim that the election was stolen. Because calling it a lie is to reach the conclusion that it's a lie, but there hasn't really been a public trial. There have been plenty of trials on it, but it hasn't been totally laid to rest. And I think the main reason it hasn't been totally laid to rest is that no one on the side of claiming that it was stolen has ever tried to substantiate the claim, okay? And I think if rather the news media and everyone else just simply always referred to it as the totally unsubstantiated claim, then when someone came forward and said it was stolen, you could say, can you please substantiate your claim? If you're going to use those terms, can you please describe to us how it was stolen? Because it would really help the national debate for the people who make this claim to try and lay on the table their version of the reasons for why they think it was stolen. Most of the reasons are that too many of those people voted. You know, really, when they get down to it, they want to do a head count and they want to say, look, in the 2016 election, the total votes were X. And in the total 2016 election, Trump got, you know, whatever he got, 66 million or 68 million, and Hillary got 65 million. And so now, in this next election, the head count is 81 to 75 million. Where did all those new votes come from? Those are fraudulent votes. And that's all they're willing to say about it, is that somehow the numbers suggest ipso facto that there was some kind of fraud. Whenever they've been put to the test to show that there's fraud someplace, there's never been an ability to prove fraud anyplace that's been in any way material. But by immaterial, I mean the numbers of frauds that have been proven can be counted on two hands. You know, which would be normal in any election, any very clean election, any place, anytime.
So Sandy, you know, those people who have made up their minds that this is how they feel, even though it's unsubstantiated, and somehow we're supposed to understand how they feel and why they feel the way they feel, and instead of, you know, again, people on the other side of this, the people who wound up winning the election, they're saying, hey, wait a minute.
Well, I know, but let's just listen to the people who are so disaffected right now, this MAGA throng, the people who call into the show with such angry voices who are conservatives. One of the first things they tell you is that they're getting fed this information by a biased media, okay? Well, part of the way, some of the way that the media paints itself a bit in the way of being biased is to create a shorthand for this theory that they grab a hold of and that it's a big lie. Because to say it's a lie is to reach the conclusion and to not even offer the opportunity for argument. I think the better way to handle it is to dismiss it by saying the totally unsubstantiated claim. And if someone wants to present that claim, then the answer to that is, can you please substantiate your claim?
But here's what I would say to that and to those people is that I'm one of those people who they believe cheated some way or somehow. And so my community, which has been vilified by those people, and they have no facts at all to back it up, we're Americans too, and to dismiss people of color for cheating, And nobody is concerned about our feelings, where these same people that we are now trying to understand why they feel the way they feel, yet no compassion whatsoever for people of color and the poor who clearly did not do anything wrong in this,
yeah,
but have been vilified,
yeah, but
by those same people saying,
I think what
it's hard for us to say, okay, I got to understand how they feel. They don't understand and don't care how people who did it the right way.
Well, you know, Madison Avenue, meaning the ad, that's this
right.
A shorthand term for the ad industry, figured out a long time ago that words matter. And how you structure a presentation to the public has a lot to do with what they think and how they react. You know, Madison Avenue even got very good at dealing with the health warnings associated with medications. So when you watch an ad on TV, you realize that the way they present those health warnings is carefully structured to not dilute the interest in that drug, but maybe even to increase it. So, you know, the four-hour warning for Viagra didn't really discourage anyone with respect to it. And the same is true with respect to the way the political debate is going on. So, woke. Wokeism is a term that's been adopted to describe people who have tried to enforce a politically correct form of speech, again, words matter, a politically correct form of speech upon all of us, because political correctness is all about enforcing the kinds of words we use to describe something, because in the mind of the people who want this correctly stated, words matter. And to the people who are being instructed on how to speak, they're finding it very offensive to be told how they need to speak and how they need to deal with one another in the nature of words. So political correctness became a negative term, and woke became the term to describe all those who were using political correctness. It's all about words, okay? And it's all about how words are deployed and employed, and it really has allowed us to get into arguments about things where we don't even really know what we're arguing about.
But Sandy, that's on both sides of
both sides
the aisle.
Absolutely.
And yet there's one side of the aisle that is saying, hey, you have to understand our perspective, i.e. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Boebert, and others who are pushing back on the other side and saying, listen, we really don't care what you guys think. Or those folk in Texas who right now in Arizona want to take books out of the library, yeah, and all of those things. And so we're supposed to understand.
Well, it's all about hypocrisy.
I mean, if it's about hypocrisy, you know, we know what hypocrisy is.
Yes.
We shouldn't call that out.
Well, we speak, you know, just like this is, again, I guess we're all about mouths here. We speak out of both sides of our mouth with our words that matter because, you know, the conservatives want to attack the use of words and shorthands, and how do they do it? With shorthand.
Right.
You know, they talk about political correctness, that's evil, yeah, and they even came up with a one word, woke, and they were able to define everyone who is overly politically correct as woke. Woke has become a reprehensible thing to be as far as conservatives are concerned. Being woke is almost like being a communist. It's a word that evokes a very negative reaction.
So let me ask you, Sandy, so they've come up with that and they force that on people who don't agree with them, and they never once say from their side of the aisle that we should understand why people are woke, you know.
Well, absolutely.
Okay, but we should now capitulate to them. We should now capitulate to them in their assessment of things.
Yes. And what you just said before is exactly the problem we have in politics. The people who disagree with one another should be asking ourselves, why are they woke? And the people who are woke should be asking ourselves, why do those people claim that the election was stolen and believe it? Why do those people feel the way they do about whatever issue it is they feel about? Because if we understand it, we could start to relate to it and cure the defective.
Sandy, they're not one and the same. Because on the one hand, just because somebody feels that the election was stolen, mm-hmm, there's no facts involved in that. That's their feeling.
Words matter,
okay,
and perceptions matter.
Okay.
Perceptions are reality to the people who perceive it.
Yeah, but that's on both sides.
Yes, it is.
And so on the one side, Sandy, we're responding to what the one side feels. But they're not responding to the other side of it. And that's the part of it. I understand everything you're saying. I just think that has to happen on both sides.
Well, it obviously does. And I do believe, you know, I'll say this with some bias, I do believe that the liberal side is more likely to exercise the empathy of trying to understand the other side. But we don't do it necessarily that well. We didn't do it that well in the 2016 election when Hillary decided to call a bunch of people deplorables,
right.
Okay? That was a word that mattered, okay? And words matter, and words matter because they relate to how we then deal with the underlying issues that are behind the words. And if we use the words to dismiss the issue of that should be requiring empathy, we're not going to get anywhere. And I'm afraid that the reason we're not getting anywhere in politics right now and in society right now.
Got to go to break. 844. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. It's Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, how you doing, man? You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people means government. And I hope all people really realize that. That means all of us. I really find a little bit of dissension with what it is that's being said. One, when you have someone like Lou calling up and calling us or me unpatriotic, I'm about ready to punch him in the face when he says stuff like that, figuratively, of course. And CJ, who can't come on the air without using the word democratic correctly and uses the word Democrat, you know what? That right there sets it up where we can't even have an honest conversation. If you've shown me, Sandy, where you have conservatives that actually want to have a communication and to be honest about their communication. I'll tell you what, conservatives are brilliant. They have been brilliant at messaging. They know how to message like nobody. Democrats basically are, you know, loosey with a football. Democrats are basically a little bit more cerebral, I would say, than Republicans. And because of that fact, they don't even know how to message. And when they message, they usually put their foot in their mouth.
I agree with you. Words matter. And I would say that the Madison Avenue sophistication with words is largely owned by the conservative side. And the Democratic side is much less thoughtful, which is why I have a problem with some of the ways they've decided to use words as words that might just be alienate a segment of voters.
Well, and that's why what they need to do is they need to talk policy and they need to talk issues.
Issues.
They need to go to selectacandidatequiz.com, take a little test and see what it is that they actually believe in. Because then they might actually see, wow, you know what, I actually line up more with Democratic issues rather than throwing food fights at each other and getting caught up. When I think of the word woke, I think of somebody that took a bucket of ice water and poured it on me. And that woke me up. And that's exactly what people are doing around this country, is they're waking up to the fact that there's money in politics, and the real people that are running everything are the oligarchs.
So Tom, let me say this. So when I hear wokeism, I celebrate that. I don't see that as a negative.
Conservatives have once again, because they own all the airways, Earl. What they've done is they've changed the definition of the word.
Right.
And then we on the left go and repeat the definition of their word. I can't even think of anything else of the word being woke than waking up. All of a sudden it means political correctness? Are you kidding me?
Well, but I mean, the fact is that to the extent, like I said, perception, unfortunately, is the important outcome. So what do people perceive? And that's really what we have to understand if we want to communicate with one another. If people have mistaken perceptions, we have to figure out how to pierce through the mistakes. And if people are biased and have their perception because of a bias that we can't pierce, then we need to lay that on the table, and they need to lay that on the table. And the only way we're going to get people to lay that on the table directly is for them to discuss directly why it is that they think the election was stolen. Because as Earl was saying off the air, the main reason they think it was stolen is because too many of those people in the cities voted. And so let's get them to say that. And they aren't willing to say that because they know that that's really both socially, politically, and factually incorrect.
So, Sandy, my thing is, why do we have to put so much energy in trying to make these people?
Because we want to win elections, Earl.
Yeah.
We want to have a society that functions. We want to have a society that isn't broken.
Clearly, we know that that's what's at the root of it, and that's what happened this last time. One election fairly and squarely, and there are people who did not accept that. So when Republicans won and they were in charge, you didn't see the same pushback as Democrats. They didn't say, well, they cheated. They stole the election.
Not only that, if you go back, Donald Trump, before he even ran against Hillary Clinton, he actually said before that election, he said, if I lose, this is rigged.
Yeah.
If I lose, they cheated. So that's his whole game. That's the Republicans' whole game, which is destroying democracy. I'm telling you what, one of the things, you know, they call themselves pro-life, right? That's why I keep on saying the Republicans are the pro-death party and the pro-murder party. I don't want to be getting into a food fight back and forth in terms of messaging, but you know what? At least mine's factual. We actually have statistics. We actually have things that show that ours is factual. But the thing is, it sounds like I'm just basically trying to throw a food fight back and forth with conservatives. I'm not. But you know what? They message so well. They got that guy from Fox that basically does their little surveys and messages everything out ahead of time. Democrats don't have that. Democrats don't have 10,000 radio stations.
So, Tom, you can't make the lie into the truth. Okay? They may not like to hear that verbiage, but, you know what else is
well, Earl, I'm talking pragmatics here.
Yeah.
I'm talking how do we try to cure fractures? How do we try to coax people out of the cave? How do we get people to be more thoughtful about what they think, you know?
Let me say this.
And so that's why I'm saying words matter in that respect, because the whole dumb down in politics and the whole dumb down in our society has gotten us down to the point where we condense things to one word, and Madison Avenue's figured that out.
Hey Tom, thank you very much for the call. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. And you know, Sandy, this conversation we're having is at the root of why this nation is in danger and in jeopardy. And as people wonder why we can't have conversations and why Americans are at one another's throats, this is at the root of it. And so you sit back and you watch it and you say, why did they create that? Okay, so for the people who say, because Donald Trump said the election was stolen, there was no such thought until Donald Trump himself couldn't accept the fact that he lost.
Right.
And he went around and started saying the election is stolen. The other part of this, Sandy, is the more I'm reading, the more I'm seeing that less and less people are supporting Donald Trump. His numbers are actually, based on some of what you read, diminishing. I don't know if that's true or not, but
we're going to find out in this midterm election, because he's backed some candidates, and we'll see how his backed candidates, how Herschel Walker and some of these
Herschel Walker,
some of these people.
I know, man.
Herschel Walker,
Oz.
He does make me laugh a little bit.
Dr. Oz.
Well, Dr. Oz is more glued to reality than Herschel Walker. I mean, poor Herschel Walker. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that it's from head injuries from football, but wow, he is disconnected. No, but my concern is exactly yours. The reason I started thinking about this words matter thing is that words are dividing us now, and if we could pierce through the use of simplified and words that vilify into actual discussions,
like socialists.
Yeah, like socialism.
Like liberal.
Liberal. Yeah, liberal has become a swear word.
Well, yeah, right.
To be a liberal is to be vilified. To be liberal is to not be a patriot. We can listen to Lou from Cudahy, the extent to which we've painted extreme positions through words.
But Sandy,
to be a patriot is to be not a liberal. To be a patriot is fundamental. If you're not a patriot, you shouldn't be allowed to vote. You're going to tear apart this country. We have allowed the lack of real debate and this use of shorthand to divide us terribly, and so that's why I say the big lie plays into Donald Trump's lap, because one of his big arguments is the media is biased. Well, if the media is only going to describe what he says as the big lie, he can say, see, they're biased.
So let me ask you, Sandy, because if he says the media is biased, right now Fox News is kind of turned on him. So what media he's talking about. Hey, CNN, let's buy CNN and make them a conservative outlet, because the people who were in his corner at some point in time, like Rupert Murdoch, has said, hey, wait a minute.
Well, that's why I think Donald Trump is very vulnerable now to losing his base. And what the liberals would be smart is to not wave the red flag at the liberals at all, but to use language and to do things which would cajole them into bolting from him. And one of the ways to do that would be to stop playing into his lap. I'm just saying something as simple as the language that's used could... It matters.
And Sandy, but you believe softening the conversation with people who believe that.
Why are you softening it if you simply, I'm just using this one example,
right,
the big lie. But why is it softening it to say a totally unsubstantiated position that it was stolen? It's totally unsubstantiated. And then if the person wants to say, well, it was stolen, you say, well, you need to substantiate that if you're going to use the word stolen. Stolen is as big a pejorative and summary as lie is, okay? So if it's stolen, you tell me how it's stolen, or don't use that term on this show.
But Sandy, haven't they proven that through the courts?
Well, the court, what's happened so far is they've been unable to substantiate any of the particular claims. And let's face it, the whole argument is an intuitive argument that about this headcount of votes, and it's all really about the fact that too many of those people voted. Those people being liberals in the broadest sense, and in the most specific sense, those people are in the cities that voted.
Right.
And the cities had too overwhelming an effect. But actually, if you look at the way the election ran, it was really the people in the suburbs. It was liberals in the suburbs people who decided to vote more liberally in the suburbs who decided the election. So what that really meant when they say too many of those people voted is too many liberals voted.
Well, so the many of the decisions on who is going to win those elections are based from the suburbs, because the rural areas for the most part are red, the cities for the most part are blue, and the suburbs swing back and forth.
Well, then let's let the suburbs understand that they're the people who are being painted as fraudulent voters. Right now, we've just left this thing up in the air. We've allowed Donald Trump to say it was stolen, and we were allowing ourselves to say it's a big lie. There were about 50 lawsuits in which they were unable to substantiate it. So I think the fact is that it was from the standpoint of court proceedings, they were unable to substantiate it, and it is a totally unsubstantiated claim. And we should force the people who use that term, including Donald Trump, to explain specifically how he thinks it was
stolen. So, Sandy, how do we then, it's the last time I checked, it's 9/19/2022. And so there's an election coming up in 50 days. If they lose that election and they clamor again and say it was stolen again, mm-hmm, who's to say that they're not going to keep saying the same thing?
Well, that's because we've allowed the debate to continue as it is. If they were forced to say, for instance, or to put fact-specific arguments forward, they'd have trouble doing it. If they want to put generalizations forward, people would realize that they're pointing their finger at specifically liberals voting too much, and they might be pointing their finger at black liberals too much. That's socially and politically unacceptable. Okay, it's politically acceptable to a very small cadre of people, and it would cut down the cadre of people who are willing to think that way and to react that way to a much smaller segment. I just think we have to start talking about things in reality. We need to start picking our enemies. You know, we need to decide whether and why China's our enemy before we jump into a war over Taiwan, and we can't just let these shorthand words, communist, make the decision for us as to how we're going to invest all of our treasure and blood.
You know, Sandy, it is a tough conversation. There's no question at all about it. There's no referee basically to do this. This has to be, you know, I guess I would say, Sandy, person to person, that conversation. Because, you know, MSNBC is not going to soften their approach, as Fox News didn't soften theirs. Newsmax is not going to soften its approach. It's going to continue to say it was stolen. And you know, when you look at the balance of...
Well, but what we could do is get the people to be more open to looking for more information behind allegations, right? I mean, we have all these allegations that are made. The big lie is an allegation. It's got a lot more facts behind it than the stolen allegation. But again, it's an allegation. The description of people as deplorables was obviously almost probably a fatal mistake as far as Hillary was concerned. And it's a fatal mistake that carried over, you know, into a movement, I believe, because I think it pushed a lot of people into Trump's camp that then became a movement because they said, you know what, we are basically being treated by the government like deplorables, and so we hate the government, and so this whole movement, this anti-government,
but Hillary Clinton
pro-nationalist was, anti-government movement,
but crazy. Hillary Clinton wasn't the government, okay?
Well, but she was the liberal. She was the face of the liberals, and the Clintons have been a term that has been used as a shorthand for liberals, as the right has successfully tried to paint, at least for their followers, the notion that liberals are bad people.
So, see, Sandy, that's where the conversation bogs down for me. These same people who have been calling people liberals, you know, you're a liberal. Mm-hmm. And as if, you know, the definition of a liberal is somebody who's open-minded and willing to...
Yeah, but they've created... See, that's why I say perceptions matter. Words matter to the extent that they are understood in a manner. Words only have meaning to the person who's hearing them and perceives them. And what the right has successfully done is change the perception of the word liberal for the people that they're talking to into an extremely pejorative term. It isn't just the description of the people sitting on the other side of the aisle. It's a description of someone who is inherently evil.
So then why is there, if you look in Rosé's Thesaurus, mm-hmm. and you look under the definition of liberal, and that's completely different than what these people have changed it to.
Well, that's...
So this is where...
That's the magic of linguistics. That's why linguistics is all about how people understand and communicate. And what the conservatives have done very effectively is take the science of words and bend it to their favor. And it's, you know, it's what propaganda is all about. It's how to affect people's minds with words.
But then, Sandy, all of us can then take words and twist them.
Yep.
Into whatever it is we want them to be, and when there's already a definition in all the dictionaries, somebody went through what it took in centuries ago to come up with the definition of these words.
Yeah, we learn it when we nickname people within banter. I mean, it's a learned skill.
But does it change the true definition of the word?
Well, sure, dictionaries' definitions change over time,
right,
as people begin to perceive a different meaning for a word. So you'll see in a dictionary...
But the base of it...
If you look at any of the dictionaries, they'll give you the archaic meaning,
right,
and the new meaning, the old English and the new English. The meaning of words evolve, and there'll never be a meaning for liberal in that is reflective of the nuance and the innuendo that's been built into the word in the current debate that's carried out by conservatives when they label people liberals. Just as communist is a pejorative term, but when you look up communist, it'll talk about a party, it'll describe what the party views are, but it won't carry with it all the emotional dynamite that the word carries in the United States.
So, Sandy, whether it's Merriam-Webster or whatever it is, at the root of the definition of a word, mm-hmm. That's what the definition is, and then
it's the meaning. It's the meaning perceived, and that's why I'm saying that words matter, and that's why I'm saying that we need to help educate the public, and we need to use more words, not fewer words, when we're actually talking about something. We have to stop shorthanding things into a propaganda knee-jerk reaction. If we can get the public to just think more and to ask more questions, maybe we can avoid going to war over Taiwan. I jump to a subject like that because it's huge. But it's all about how the words are presented to us and how we understand them, and then and how we as good citizens, I'll accuse everyone of being a good citizen in their own way, but some people's version of citizenship is much more bent than others.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. We'll be right back. Us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And I know that this conversation that we've been on now for quite some time may be one that many of you are kind of caught in between and trying to listen. It's not easy. And we know that there's something going on in the body politic in this nation that is at a horrible point in the history of it. And, you know, the body politic, Sandy, has always been one where there's been, yin and yang, but this has changed.
I don't think we've ever gotten to a time like this where both conservative and liberal news media are talking about the potential for the breakup of the country, the civil war, the fracture of our democracy. I've never seen during my lifetime a period where those kind of very fundamental things are being talked about and viewed as potential.
And Sandy, you see it in local politics right now, people running for United States Senate for the gubernatorial seat in the state of Wisconsin, this divide, this ugliness of it all. And I'm not saying the ugliness hasn't been there before. But Sandy, I guess I just wonder, you talked about Hillary Clinton and the term deplorable, and yet cost her, her opportunity to run, and so you just watch it constantly that these kinds of and words again,
yeah,
and people took umbrage to that, and they take.
We have all kinds of words we use. And, the news media, talking show, everyone, we talk about recession. What does a recession mean? We talk about inflation. Just how does that work? What does it mean? I mean, I think one of the things we try and do on this show is to try and pierce through simplicity and talk a little bit more about what's behind it, and not maybe get all the way to complexity, but at least get people to think about it so that they think through things, and we think through things.
Sandy, I think part of this was at the root of this discussion is that people in this audience have loved ones who are considered to be MAGA. And so they're caught between, and it may be the grandfather, the grandmother, it may be their sisters, their brothers, it's people they love.
It might be some of the listeners.
Yeah, yeah. And so they don't know, you know, it's like, hey, that's, you know, I know my sister and my brother, and I know they're good people, right? And so when I hear those things talked about my loved one, you know, and you want to define them this way, I know them in another way.
Well, that's the problem with shorthand. Like that, like I said, I think we should stop attributing malice to other people in the country. I think malice is a very rare commodity in humanity, and I think if we don't attribute malice to the way other people think, then we'll try to use empathy to try and figure out why they think that way. And I think there's far too much malice being attributed to the other guys in today's discussion. Certainly, liberals are viewed with malice, and I think MAGA are viewed with malice from the other side. So I think we needed to drop that kind of a process, and we could get a long way towards getting things a little closer to being cured.
So, Sandy, I would say that perspective needs to be across the board in everything.
Everything.
Okay. It can't just be about MAGAs. It because there's so many other aspects and people in this country that suffer from the same kind of
racism,
right?
Sexual orientation, all kinds of things that you know are being viewed with fear or malice. Fear can turn into malice, right? If you're afraid of something, then you have to do something about that and so that what you do about it can be malicious. We've got a lot of impulses under the current here in the United States that are related to fear that have turned us into something that seems like malice.
You know, and in the simplistic terms of a talented, music man named Michael Jackson. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Start with the man in the mirror. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, as simplistic as that sounds, that's the answer. Look inside. Look at yourself. Hey, is that me? am I doing that? Am I calling people liberals? Am I calling people, I'm saying they're woke? That's a negative thing. Socialism somehow is vilified, even though there are parts of this nation that socialism is working in.
Well, the word socialism themselves is ill-defined, right?
Right.
So what does the word mean? That's what I'm like, words matter.
Right. You know, so yeah, you know, it's a great conversation. I hope people will take it to heart. The conversation that Sandy and I just had. And when we come back, we need four callers, 844-967-2789. We're going to be at the breakfast table again, 844-967-2789. Anybody is welcome. First four callers, 844-967-2789. We're going to try this again. And, you can join us. Call in now. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show on Monday. Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789.